Hear now and hear these words of Scripture that come to us from the Old Testament book of Psalm, chapter 1, words that the choir has already sung for us as well. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture contained in the Bible, used for our everyday lives and living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will speak to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Give us a sense of rest, peace, and comfort from the activities that surround us in our daily lives. Not only today, not only yesterday, but also in the days ahead. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Woody Guthrie years ago wrote these words: California is a garden of Eden, a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi. Now, back in the 1930s, California did sound like a Garden of Eden, especially to those Dust Bowl refugees in Woody Guthrie's famous protest song. The dough, of course, is money, and that money is something that the farmers of Kansas and Oklahoma did not have. They dreamed about the green gardens of California, a paradise to see and to live in. But today it would seem that perhaps the tables have turned. It's California now that is suffering unprecedented drought. The snowpack in the Sierra Mountains, whose annual melting is the main source of fresh water of the state, is smaller than ever in history. And there's real concern that if present trends continue, that much of the Golden State will become a desert. Some in the state of California have called it the most serious drought we've faced in modern times. And whatever the cause, whether it's a long-term climate change or just a long, short period of passing weather patterns, drought is serious business. How many of us in our area were frustrated with gardens because, well, they had too much water in the spring, not enough water in the summers, well, summer and, well, things just seemed to droop and wilt. Well, California's agricultural output, the fruits and vegetables that are produced there dwarf many nations of their output. And the realization is that people all over the world rely on what California produces. And should California dry up, the consequences would be serious, not only for the state's economy, but for the battle against world hunger. Now, drought is not something new. It's something that farmers have considered a curse for as long as we have been farming. The ancient Israelites knew of its experience well. Recall the story of the sons of Jacob begging grain from their unknown brother Joseph in the land of Egypt, who Joseph has become Pharaoh's right-hand man. Imagine how devastating a long drought could be for our country. And so when the author of Psalm chapter 1 sings of trees planted by streams of water which yields fruit in its season and their leaves do not wither. Oh, that's an image of peace and contentment and comfort. Reminds us of that image, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures beside still waters. But the psalmist isn't singing and writing about real farmers. Psalm 1, which serves as a sort of preface to this hymnal, as it were, of ancient Israel, this is an encouragement to students of Torah to be diligent in their studies. Diligent in their studies of Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those first five books, I thought I forgot one. The psalmist says their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on God's law they meditate day and night. The scriptures tell us that that's how to obtain a rich yield of spiritual fruit. Plant yourself deeply into God's word. Plant yourself deeply in the Word of God beside those streams of life-giving water. One of the great Christian storytellers of modern times, a Jesuit priest from India by the name of Anthony DeMello. One of his many parables is about a woman who was in a coma and slowly dying. As the woman lay in her sickbed, she had a sudden feeling, that she was being taken up into heaven. And there standing, she found herself before the judgment seat of God. She could only see clouds of dark smoke. But then out of the billowing smoke, there comes a voice. Who are you? Now, not knowing what else to say, she answered with the answer that she had most often used throughout her life. Well, I'm the wife of the mayor, she said. I didn't ask you whose wife you were. Who are you? Well, I'm the mother of four children. And then came the answer, I didn't ask you whose mother you were. Who are you? I'm a school teacher. I didn't ask you your profession. Who are you? And so it went, the same question repeated over and over again. But no matter how the woman replied, her answer was unacceptable. Finally, she thought she'd try another answer. I'm a Christian, she said. But that too was not acceptable. I didn't ask what your religion was. Who are you? I'm the one who went to church every week. I always help the poor and the needy. I didn't ask what you did, but who you are. And the parable concludes by the woman being sent back to earth. And soon afterwards, she awakes from her coma and resumes her life. But something is different. Something has changed about her. And from that day forward, this woman was on a journey resolving to discover who she is. And that, the storyteller concludes, makes all the difference. Who are you? Strip away all the layers that we have been carefully building up. Strip away all the labels, all the titles, all the definitions, all of our past, and what's left? What is the essential core of yourself that God sees? So who are you? Really? If you've ever built a new home or have done some landscaping, and they bring in new shrubs or bushes or trees, I've always been fascinated by watching them do trees being transported, because they're laying usually in a trailer or a pickup truck, and those branches and leaves are just bouncing all over the place. But the most important part of that plant is well cared for. The roots are wrapped and a media is put in, and they're put into a ball and watered with moisture. Because we know that all kinds of damage can happen to the trunk or the branches or the leaves. But as long as the roots are intact, as long as those roots are in the right soil at the right depth with the right amount of water, there is hope for recovery and growth. The psalmist's tree is planted by streams of water. Its roots are as deeply as they can possibly be in that place, and when they are thirsty, they can drink from that life-giving water, and even if there is a drought, they will overcome and succeed. Happy are those who plant themselves by these life-giving streams of God's water, to be nurtured by God's words, to be rooted in the scriptures, to have that deep, firm foundation that can only come from Almighty God. My friends, may we discover who we are. And oh, what fruit our lives will yield. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your presence daily in our lives, for your desire to nurture us and to assist us, to enable us to become deeply rooted beside your life-giving streams of water. Oh God, we pray that we will continually seek your nurturing presence. And what awesome fruit may we bear for you. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.